This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Well, Mr. Horrocks, you have indeed won the bet. After only one race weekend, we are here to celebrate the first, hopefully of many, Lando Norris victories in Formula One. I cannot believe I'm saying that, and I cannot believe I'm going to have to get I'm going to have to get my head shaved. Welcome to Grid Talk. My name is Tom Downey, and joining me today, we are going to discuss the 2024 Miami Grand Prix. Joining me, we have Rachel Kaputsta from the Paddock Pals podcast.
Hello.
Hello, we have Jonah Hill, who is an F1 writer, gamer, all-round just badass legend. Hello, mate. And finally, we have none other than Philip Massey from the Grip Trip podcast.
Hello, everybody.
Hello. So just before we get into this episode, we must thank our sponsors, Bet Online. The Bet Online is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NHL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores are available to follow for your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. Also, please do be sure to follow us on our new socials, at GridTalkUK, to set up the show. So now that the admin is out of the way, and now that I can sort of finally calm down a bit, now that Lando has actually won a race, we're going to talk about the Miami Grand Prix where Lando Norris won a race. If you can tell, I'm quite happy that, you know, Lando Norris won a race. So there's only one person who I'm going to sort of start this with, Jonah. Self-proclaimed bit of a McLaren Lando fan, you know, the flag in the background, you know, there's a bit of sort of a giveaway there. Off you go.
Man, I'm just absolutely on cloud nine. There's really no other way to put it. It's been a long time in the making, a lot of fumbles along the way. No football pun intended, considering they're playing and they're racing in front of Hard Rock. But it's just, I'm so happy for the guy. I'm so happy for the team. I'm the definition right now of that meme that's like, he thinks he's on the team. Like, that's what I am right now. Just everything fell into place. There's no better way that I think this weekend could have gone other than maybe the Leafs not losing last night. But the McLaren looked really good, really good. I would say it's tough because the upgrade package, we got the full thing on Lando's car this weekend, half of it on Oscar's car. Oscar looked like the stronger car at the beginning of the race until Lando switched into some scenario 7 mode when he just went ballistic and he was catching Carlos and he pulled away from Max the safety car. I haven't seen this from the guy since Austria 2020, that level of just locked in. And I'm happy that we saw it. There's no other person on the grid I would rather win a race right now than Lando. It's so deserved. The team looks stoked. Overall, I mean, I hope this is a sign of things to come, that McLaren is competitive, is going to remain competitive, and that this upgrade package is really going to make a difference, because I don't want a sense of false hope. It's kind of what I'm worried about. But, oh man, I'm on absolute cloud nine. It does not get better than this. It doesn't.
No, absolutely. You know, how long have us F1 fans waited for something like this? And I'm going to break sort of like the tradition or the sort of like unspoken rule of Grid Talk just today. Because normally we just go sort of through, you know, talking points driver by driver. But given the occasion, we're all going to talk about it a bit. So next of all, Rachel, you are indeed sporting the lovely Lando t-shirt. I think we're all sort of happy that Lando has won today. Tell us your thoughts a little bit on his race and his first, hopefully, of many victories in F1.
Yeah, it was great to see. I was so excited for him. I feel like Lando's just a really popular driver in general. So he has so many people that have been wanting this for him. So it was great to see it. Once he got past Sergio Perez and that DRS, powerful DRS in the Red Bulls, he was off. He was to the races, just like Jonas said. You couldn't stop the man. He got very, very lucky with that safety car as well. So it's just kind of like everything fell into place for him today. He made a comment after the race that he like felt like today's going to be the day. I did wonder how many times he's thought that before. And like this time, maybe it was the time that it came true. But it was great for them. I think it's great for the team just as they've been improving each year. So I'm just really excited for the team. And I'm cautiously optimistic that hopefully they can keep this up and keep challenging. We would love to see them get a little bit more competitive with Red Bull. I'm sure a bunch of teams, we would love to see that, but it was such a great day for Lando. I was so happy for him. His smile from ear to ear. Of course, he had his bandaged nose, and that's what we're always going to remember is like first race was won after like a party weekend where he busted his nose open. But that's okay. Good for Lando.
I mean, if it works for him, you know, maybe, you know, going out clubbing or something is, but perhaps that's the sort of like secret ingredient that we've been missing up until now. And Phil, you know, I just want to come to you on this quickly, and then we will talk about the others, because there were 19 other drivers, despite Kevin Magnussen's best efforts in the race today. I mean, you know, I've said it already, you know, Lando, you know, obviously won. He started from fifth. Did benefit from the safety car that was caused by Verstappen, which we'll talk about in a minute. Or certainly, you know, there were repercussions of, you know, Max sort of caught, you know, causing the incident, as you would call it. Just give us your thoughts quickly on Lando winning in F1.
I mean, it's always great to see a first-time winner in Formula One. You know, 110 races to get to that point. It harkens back to the likes of Jenson Button and some of the other guys that had to wait a while to get their first win. In his case, I mean, the McLaren bringing that upgrade package to be able to go and be so fast out of the box. I guess $25,000 penalty for crossing the track illegally doesn't really matter too much anymore, when Zach Brown's probably going to give him one of his cars or something in between the rally that they're going to be going to. But either way, I mean, Lando Norris, outstanding performance. And like everyone else has said, I mean, he was due to have this win, and I mean, it's good. It's nice to, one of the only times recently that I've actually sat and watched green lights flag Formula One race, and it was a rare instance where the usual suspect didn't win, so I'll take it. But it's two for two for me, so maybe I guess I have to watch every race then. Maybe it would change, but I'll take Lando Norris winning a race. That's good for the world as we move towards Imola here in a couple of weeks' time.
Absolutely. And like you said, Phil, it's good for the world. It's good for the sport. It's good for the soul. So speaking of things that were perhaps not so good for the soul, or indeed, you know, good for the car, Max Verstappen finished P2 after having started P1, and his teammate Sergio Perez finished P5 after starting P4, but also after, you know, sort of going, oh, look, a penny into turn one, and then, you know, and then almost sort of like absolutely, you know, like wiping out even his own teammate. The Red Bulls, Rachel, do you think that, you know, they will sort of see this as an opportunity missed, especially with Max causing the VSC, and then, you know, which in turn caused the safety car? You know, he hit the bollard at the chicane, I think it's turn 13-14. He hit the bollard, actually blew onto the racing line. Then someone else hit the bollards because it, you know, because obviously he was sitting there, and then he just couldn't catch Lando. He could not, whether he just sort of settled for second, I find that hard to believe that just happened. And then Perez, obviously in P5 in the end, had a bit of a mare. You know, will Red Bull sort of see this as a sort of almost like a loss for them this weekend, do you think?
I feel like Red Bull might see this, as I feel like a lot of us did, as like a shock. It was like, wait, is there a chink in Max Verstappen's armor right now? Like, did he really just make a mistake? He's always so on point. So like when I saw him go over that curb and hit the cone or bollard, I guess you would call it, right? Bollard. So when I saw that, I was shocked. I was just like, wait, did that really just happen? And did Max really do that? So yeah, he definitely did himself in and probably cost himself the race, which I know he won't be easy on himself about. But yeah, and then as you mentioned on the restart, I feel like at first I thought Lando really took off in a bad heart and the Red Bull was going to catch him immediately. I thought Maxi was going to be right there and Lando should have maybe waited before he took off after that safety car. But then I think he had Charles right behind him, which really helped Lando because Charles also got a really good start after the safety car and Lando was able to pull ahead. But yeah, it was seriously no weather, no other factors really came into this. It was just that the McLaren was better. And I think the Red Bulls are going to be a little like, oh, wow. Impressive, and we're going to have to do something about it. Checo, really, it was kind of shocking how he just got stuck back there and couldn't pass the Ferraris either. I mean, not entirely shocking because it's Checo and he obviously doesn't have as good of grip on the car as Max does, so we don't expect the same things from them, but that he couldn't pass the Ferraris, it was kind of shocking too. So maybe it was just like a perfect storm of this track not suiting them. Maybe something was wrong and the baller did actually messed something up on his front wing just a little bit that gave McLaren that extra edge. But I don't think they're necessarily take this as like a major loss, but maybe just things to ponder for the future and how to make sure this never happens ever again for their sweet baby Max Verstappen and make sure that he keeps that trophy on his head.
That is how you really feel. Maybe these are like signs of your Red Bull sort of starting to crack. Obviously, you know, we've had confirmation this, you know, sort of on this weekend that Nibiru's leaving. All of a sudden, they don't quite win. You know, is this where the downfall begins? We can only wait and see. But Jonah, a team that will absolutely be waiting to sort of pick up the pieces is Ferrari. So they started P2 and P3 with Leclerc P2 and Sainz P3, and they have finished P3, P4 in the same order. There were some calls early on that they should have swapped positions, as Sainz was apparently faster. Ultimately, they didn't. At the time of recording, Sainz has been summoned to the stewards because he's been a very naughty boy, and he had that incident with Piastri at turn 17. That obviously ruined Piastri's race, which we'll sort of talk about a bit as well. You know, he ended in P13 after having to make a pit stop and change the front wing because it's completely mangled. So the Ferraris ending P3, P4, and then Piastri ending P13. Bit of contrasting fortune for those two, bearing in mind that they started relatively close on the grid.
Yeah, I mean, so I wasn't on the shows earlier in the weekend or anything. So I just, before I get into the Ferrari's tactics on track, I want to say my personal opinion, God, that livery was hideous. I hated everything about it. Don't hype us up for a blue livery and then give us a stripe. I'm sorry. Underwhelming, disappointing, ridiculous. Anyways, onto their on-track antics. To me, that seemed like an uncharacteristically frustrated Carlos Sainz on track. Is that partially the Oscar Piastri incident? I don't think Oscar did anything wrong. I'm on Martin Brundle's side, as in that's hard, fair racing. Ignore the flag in the back. It's not bias. That's just racing. You've seen that all over the place. If you want to penalize that, you want to penalize racing. I don't think it was penalty worthy. And I think the stewards made the right call. It wasn't a penalty. That was just an uncharacteristically frustrated drive from Carlos Sainz, starting, in my opinion, from sitting behind his teammate and Ferrari not making the call. Is that surprising? Not necessarily. Ferrari tends to not make strategy calls pretty frequently, but it's pretty blatant. Carlos looked like the faster driver. You could see he was right on Charles's tail. Swap him. If it doesn't work, swap him back. I don't see the point of just putting them there. You're sacrificing both your drivers to just sit there. The McLaren was quick in Oscar Piastri. Yeah, but if Carlos thinks he's got a shot, give him the shot. If not, swap him back. I don't understand it. That, I think, frustrated Carlos. And then Oscar, with some rough defending, I'll call it, to make some Ferrari fans, I guess, happy, you could say. That it's hard, but it's fair. And Carlos wasn't a fan of it. He was yapping on the radio, complaining the whole time, which, I mean, listen, put your head down if you don't like it and go catch him the fairway. Like, don't complain about it the whole time. Put your head down and go catch him. He didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, did he shove you off? Maybe a little bit. But we saw a few drivers do that earlier in the race, and there was no incidents, nobody complaining, no nothing. He's not going to hand you the position. You weren't ahead at the apex. That's not your corner. I don't care what anybody says. If that's the ruling, that's the ruling, and the stewards clearly think the same thing. Then, moving forward, throwing it up the inside and pretty much parking your car on the apex. He literally stopped his car. You could see it like kick out in the rear there. It was almost doing zero at the apex where Oscar's got nowhere to go. That's a blatantly frustrated Carlos Sainz. Charles, I mean, it was an okay race. I don't think he did anything special. I don't think he did anything bad. If you're in a Ferrari and there's one Red Bull ahead of you in Max Verstappen, if you finish behind the other Red Bull, you did something wrong. So I think that for Charles, it was a good race. Good to be on the podium. Good points for the team. But I wouldn't be surprised if Carlos gets some kind of repercussions from the stewards for, I mean, blatantly almost ending Oscar's race with a move that didn't need to happen. It just didn't, and he looked frustrated.
Yeah, I think that's a very good way of putting it, Johnny. There was evidently a lot of frustration that was sort of on show that day, and especially given he's fighting for his F1 future, you kind of understand why it's perhaps cut through. But you know, Sainz was obviously sort of having a bit of a whinge. And speaking of whinges, Lewis Hamilton finished P6 and George Russell finished P8. Sorry, I had to get that one in. Phil, bit of a sort of like mixed fortunes in a way for your boys today. They were, you know, certainly Hamilton wasn't happy with the balance of the car. And, you know, he wasn't happy with the straight line speed of it. And ultimately, P6, P8, bearing in mind we only had, I think, one DNF, which was Logansson. You know, just do you think Mercedes can be sort of happy with that? You know, obviously, a team like Mercedes is going to want more. But do you think, given the relative pace of the car, and they, you know, they were ahead of, you know, the Aston Martins, you know they were ahead of, you know, Haas, Alpine, and then, you know, and then sort of, you know, those kind of runners, do you think they'll think, especially with the safety cars, potentially an opportunity missed today, or do you think they'll be sort of happy with where they are?
It's fine. You can get your daggers in. You're not going to have hair soon. But, you know, in terms of, you know, Lewis, I mean, he was battling Sergio Perez for a good amount of that race. If it was a Mercedes of yesteryear, which wasn't an absolute doggy.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Probably would have been able to pass Sergio Perez, but given all the limitations that were there, getting a sixth place finish, it's sad that we have to celebrate that. But, you know, greener pastures theoretically for him moving forward for Sir Lewis Hamilton, where he's going to be going. George Russell was kind of invisible most of the weekend. Yes, he outqualified Lewis. That seems to be the thing these days, but their time together, for the most part, Lewis has outperformed George in races. When it comes to this weekend, they were definitely the third team. Aston Martin, whatever their upgrades were, definitely didn't upgrade much anything unless it made their car slower on street courses. Fred was generally anonymous. The other guy did what he usually does. So they were able to beat Aston Martin. They're well behind McLaren in constructors' points. But for what their car is, what their pace is at the moment, that was probably as good as it was going to be. There was no DNFs amongst those three teams, or there being that fourth best team is what they are at the moment. And first top six finish for Lewis in a while, which is sad to say also, there's plenty of people who don't like him, which is fine. You don't have to like greatness. I don't have to like greatness for certain people, and it's the same way. So, you know, we'll take it. Going to Imola, Monaco is going to probably not be, these next couple of Grand Prix are not going to be ideal, I would think, for what Mercedes is doing, unless they bring that massive upgrade and they hit something like McLaren did last year at Silverstone. But, you know, for what they are right now, I think about as good as it was going to be.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously with next year, you know, there's going to be a new driver, and, you know, maybe a sort of slight change of philosophy. You know, I do think we'll see Mercedes a bit further up the grid, because they're a team that, let's be fair, they know how to win. And, you know, let's also keep an eye on them for 2026, because the last time we had sort of big engine regs, it's safe to say Mercedes got it pretty spot on. But Jonah, let's have a quick look at the RBs. So Yuki Tsunoda finished P7 after starting P10. He was having some blinking good battles around him. And then Daniel Ricciardo, back where he belongs, in P15 after qualifying last. You know, after everybody at Sky was thinking, you know, he was the second coming of Christ, and, you know, finishing P4 in the sprints. Well, you know, after all that greatness, he's back down to mediocrity, you could say. The RBs, bearing in mind how poor the car was this time last year, and obviously, you know, last year they had Bowling Ball De Vries into turn one, who wiped out actually today's winner, Lando Norris. If you didn't know, he won today. Not quite happy. And my hair isn't. But no, the RBs, certainly with their sort of like Instagram-looking front nose, They are, certainly for Yuki, it seems to be a bit more sort of like business as usual for them, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think business as usual is an interesting way of putting it, considering that they're the RBs. But I guess I'll start my second segment here also with the livery topic. Man, that was beautiful. I think it's gorgeous. No marketing, no nothing. They throw that out there a few days before. Stunning. I really liked it. Now, I have to understand what's going on in Daniel Ricciardo's head, because how do you go from P4 in the sprint in a car that, let's be fair, has no business being there, but being P4 in the sprint and then getting smoked by a guy who I have a hard time believing can actually see over the steering wheel? I don't understand how it's just like so blatantly bipolar, his results. Like, it's something so good and then something so mid. Like, there's no other way to put it than it's just so mid. It's 15th, probably not where an RB should be considering the teams below it, but Yuki stuck that thing 7. The guy's got 10 years less experience you do. He's never driven a car that's race winning. You have a few race wins under your belt. You know what it takes to win. I can't wrap my head around what's going on in Danny Ric's head. Part of me thinks that's a good thing because, man, his time at McLaren sucked, and there's just, I don't know what it is. It's got to be like the biggest case of the yips, because that car clearly has some potential behind it, considering where Yuki's putting it. Now, on the Yuki side of things, man, I love this guy. Like, how can you not love this guy? He's doing so well in this car. He's like just this little ball of energy, and I love to see him succeed. I really do. And I'm not a Red Bull enjoyer, I'll say. I like Hondas, the road cars. Don't love how good they are at this, considering it's not the 80s anymore. But I don't know. I can't help but be happy that Yuki's doing well. And I also can't help but fear that Danny Ric's seat is a little bit less and less his every race that he continues to finish below Yuki. Who's that going to be? I don't know. I don't want to speculate, but I have a feeling that it won't be Danny next year. And I just don't understand how you can go from doing so well in the sprint to having, you know, the same vehicle. Maybe it's a different setup, but how drastic of a setup change can it be that you're that bad in the same car that you did so well in yesterday? I don't understand. I can't wrap my head around it. Good on you, Yuki. Keep doing what you're doing, man. And Danny, God, I hope you figure it out. Like, I don't know. It's hard to understand.
Yeah, and like you said, maybe it's a good thing that we don't try and understand what's going on in his head, because, you know, like you said, he's getting beat by a guy who's not been in anything anywhere near a race winning car. The closest thing he would have had would have been the 2021 AlphaTauri, so it was back then, you know, because ever since then they've been on a sort of bit of a downward slope, one could say. So yeah, so absolutely, that was another 5-star drive from Yuki. And segue, if you think this is a 5-star podcast, well, you can absolutely leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify or a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're one of the 72% of people who are not yet subscribed to the channel, please consider helping us out with a like and a subscribe. Now that I've bossed out, like Lando bossed his first win in F1, if you didn't know, he won the Grand Prix today. It's now time to have a quick look at the Aston Martins. So we've gone from speaking of bossing things to probably more speaking of bottling things. Phil, the Astons, well, you know, where this is going to be good, especially as, you know, you're not a fan of either driver. So Fernando Alonso had a pretty dismal qualifying. He qualified P15. He ended the race P9 ahead of his, you know, ahead of his absolute best friend Esteban Ocon. And then Oh, 17th. Don't care about it. So, you know, so the Astons, bear in mind, they were sort of showing a bit of promise. Last time out in China, they've had a real slump there, you know, a pretty dismal showing in quali, and, you know, only sort of just scraping a point with Lance Stroll down in, where was he? P17. Yeah, great job, buddy. Just give us a couple of thoughts. Keep it clean, because it's, you know, it's your favorite driver, Fernando Alonso. And, you know, just give us your thoughts about the race and their quality performance.
No, my favorite driver finished second today. But anyways, in terms of my second favorite driver, you know, you talk about guys that have a hard time seeing over the dashboard. He's another one when he isn't trying to be Napoleon. But the fact is, I don't know what they were trying to do with this upgrade. Maybe it'll show better at Imola in a couple weeks' time. But it definitely didn't match the high temperatures, the whatever track that Miami provide. They seem to be on the back foot from the jump. The qualifying session for Alonso to be as far back as he was, you're basically taking any chance out of having real points. Getting up to 9th, assisted, of course, by Haas, because they're Haas. And, you know, like, they're, you mean, and then I forget who else was really up there where he went and benefited. I mean, oh, it's Alpine. Yeah, there. So his former employer there at least, what, three times so, or two times. And then, yeah, so whatever. They got a couple of points. It's damage limitation for Aston Martin. You know, Lawrence's son, you know, just driving around, making up the numbers. And, I mean, he didn't hit anybody, so that's a win for him. Kevin Magnussen decided to be like him this weekend. So, yeah, I mean, I wonder, you have more people in the garage that were watching the race this weekend for Aston Martin that probably would be more worthwhile in the car, but, you know, that's fine. Lost weekend for them. We'll see what they do at Imola and what they bring to the table at another street course at Monaco here these next couple of races, and then Montreal Grand Prix, three important races, I would say, for Aston in regards to their battle with Mercedes in the Constructors' Championship, and if they're really going to be in a battle with them for the in Constructors' points, or if they're going to be looking towards that back four.
Yeah, absolutely. Aston Martin is sort of like balanced quite, they're sort of on a knife edge. You'd say, and they're on the brink of sort of dropping into the bottom half in the table, which, bearing in mind where they were this time last year, is something they'll be not that pleased about. But it seems they will be pleased. Alpine, somebody get the fireworks, you know, start singing the French national anthem. They've only gone and done it, lads and masses. They've scored a point. So, Rachel, Esteban Ocon finished P10 after qualifying P13. Pierre Gasly finished P12 after qualifying P12. So a point is a point, and after the abysmal start they had to the season, where if you look at Bahrain, does it look to you like Alpine are finally beginning to turn a corner? Because their car can't.
I think they're slowly crawling, like kind of learning how to walk to getting slightly better. So I don't think we're going to see like points every week from them from here on out, but I do think that they're going to celebrate this like Lando's win. They're going to call up McLaren and be like, where are you guys going to the club tonight, and can we get a table next door, because we're ready to party for our 1 point, and it's the best day ever. They celebrate getting into like Q2 like it's their birthday. Like it's so bad for them this year that this might be their best race of the season, if it is. But I don't know, I guess I am happy for them, because it does seem like a big fall from, or it is, doesn't seem like it. It is a giant fall from where they have been. So I don't know. Like, I'm happy for them and all, but it's just not that impressive, because it's just kind of sad that that's what we're celebrating. We're celebrating 1 point, and it was a little SD bestie up there. And yeah, but good for them. Pierre couldn't do anything. They were fighting like siblings at the beginning of the race, racing wheel to wheel, when they really shouldn't have been at that point. It was entertaining for sure, but I was like, can they stop? I'm getting stressed out for them. Like, let somebody go through. Let's not crash out both Alpines. And I'm sure that they're glad they didn't, because they did get that 1 point.
Absolutely. And I'm sure Bruno Famin is going to be, you know, sort of toasting them a job well done that they didn't manage to crash into each other or break down. But, you know, there is still a long, long way for that team to go, you know, certainly at the moment. I'm just going to brush over the other teams, because, you know, there's not an awful lot to talk about. So Sauber, they finished with Zhou Guanyu in P14 after starting P19, and Valtteri Bottas finished P16 after starting P16. Bottas was at 1 point second on the driver save. Not quite sure why. Maybe I missed something. Maybe it's Maybelline. And then the other team as well, just to mention, Williams. Albon, bit of a stinker, finished P19 after starting P14. And Sargeant got wiped out by a rampant Danish streak of bacon into, I can't even remember what corner, but we'll talk about that in a second. So on that sort of topic, Haas, Hülkenberg finished P11 after starting P9, and K-Mag finished P18 after starting P18. Bearing in mind, we are strictly talking about the race here. So yeah, anything that were to do with the sprint was covered in yesterday's show. And if you haven't listened to it, I do urge you to go listen to it, because the sprint yesterday was actually an absolute banger. But I don't mean that, because K-Mag was just hell-bent on driving into Hamilton. So at the time of recording, K-Mag, I believe, had one penalty in the race. He got a 10-second penalty or something, which I lose track by this. Just to make you aware, I've just looked on the FIA website. He is also under investigation, he has to report to the stewards, alleged breach of Article 55.11 of the FIA F1 regs, entering the pitch during a safety car period and not changing his tyres. So just once again, he, if you're just asking for that, well, you know, by this point, I don't even know what to say about him. And my question to all of you, and I'll start with you, Jonah, is do we think what we've seen this weekend from Kevin Magnussen, bearing in mind everything we saw in the sprints and some of the stuff we saw in the actual Grand Prix today, do you think we need to perhaps overhaul the point system or revisit the point system and revisit the ban system in F1? Because it's a difference between racing and just being a thug on the track, you could say. What's your take on it?
Well, you know, it's a pretty loaded question. Honestly, I think it was an absolute haster class that Magnussen was putting on there. But I think in terms of the point system, personally, I don't think it has to be overhauled. I mean, in my opinion, and as controversial as it might be, why are you going to give more points? Are we talking like race points or penalty points?
Penalty points.
Penalty points. Okay. I don't think it has to be overhauled because number one, this is not something that happens every weekend. Okay. It's not like, you know, Magnussen is like known for doing this. I mean, listen, he's got a history, especially with his teammate, and more in a different way than we saw this weekend. But I think that it's not something we see all the time, that it's not enough to warrant a switch in the penalty point system or a race ban or a quality ban, or the way that the FIA has it set up, because we don't see them frequently. If we saw them all the time and we saw this, you know, way more frequently, if Kevin was doing this every weekend, or we saw more drivers getting bans and more drivers getting loads of penalty points on their super licenses, then okay, maybe it's time to revisit it. But, you know, if we don't see it all the time, and, you know, drivers aren't idiots, they're not children out there, unless you're Max Verstappen on his debut, I don't think it's something that really has to be revisited, because they're adults, right? At the end of the day, handle it the way an adult would handle the situation. Okay, Kevin, don't do that again. That was really stupid. If you do that again, there's going to be some serious repercussions. I don't know if, as of yet, he's accumulated enough penalty points for some sort of ban, but like, don't, there's no need to impact all the other drivers over one driver having an off weekend or making a few decisions that probably aren't the smartest. Like, I don't think it's necessary, to be honest. I would hate if they did something about it. We'll have to see what Kevin ends up getting for this Haster class that he put on this weekend, because it was, I can't lie, pretty entertaining to watch. But I don't know. That's where I stand. I don't think that we have to change anything quite yet, unless this becomes a frequent and serious issue.
Okay, fair enough. Bill, what's your take on, you know, sort of like Magnussen's driving, and then, you know, also the points around him, you know, potentially a race ban or something like that?
No, they're not going to do anything, because it's the FIA and it's selective enforcement, and they decide to forget when actual things happen, and then when, you know, it's just what they are. Probably K-Mag had too much of some sort of liquid this weekend, or some sort of powder or pill, and maybe it just, he was in his time of the month, or I don't know. But in terms of, no offense to anybody, please, since the hatred would really, really affect my life. But in terms of Kevin Magnussen, it almost was like he was coming unglued this weekend, as though he knows something is coming. And I mean, the team is not great. He already knows his teammate's leaving, so there's going to be one new driver there. It wouldn't be out of the realm for that organization to have two new drivers in the team. They do have a new team principal. He's been outclassed by Hulkenberg for the last year and change. You know, there's a lot going on there with Kevin Magnussen, but in the end, nothing's going to happen with him. He'll get whatever penalty points that he's going to get, and then he'll go back to relative anonymity. They keep on wanting to revamp this point and that point. They're going to get points all the way down to the end of the grid, which is just weak. There's nothing wrong with the top six or the top eight. I think top 10 is absolute borderline, basically the as far as you really should go. But in terms of the penalty points thing, it's selective by the people, the stewards that show up that particular weekend. So they're not consistent. So there's a bigger problem with that than Kevin Magnussen losing his mind for one particular weekend.
Look, that's a very good point. And, you know, let's be fair, the FIA certainly has issues with consistency, to say the least. Rachel, very quickly, I'd just like to get your views on it as well. You know, just again, same question, you know, thoughts around penalty points, combans, and also sort of K-Max antics.
No, I don't think that there needs to be like a change in how they handle penalties and race bans and all that. Like, I know Haas will not be happy. So I think that they can handle it internally with K-Mag. And yeah, I think it was just one of those weekends where, like, yesterday he was definitely seeing red a little bit. And then it probably just carried into today. Just a rough weekend. Maybe he just needs a reset. But I agree with Jenna. They're all adults. And you need to treat them like adults. And I mean, Kevin knows, like, he's not a shoo-in to be with the team for years and years, and even in the sport forever. So I think he'll realize that soon enough that maybe what he did this weekend, he cannot do that again, because no one's going to be wanting to sign a contract with someone who does that week over week.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, bearing in mind his teammate, he's obviously off to Audi, you know, he might be feeling perhaps a little bit more relaxed, but, you know, he definitely needs to watch over his shoulder, because his, you know, there's a lot of talent coming into F1, you know, and he should definitely be a little bit careful, should we say. So just to round out the show, I'd just like to give you all a chance to promote yourself, tell us a bit about where you're from, what you do sort of in the F1 space, etc. So Jonah, just want to give us a bit of background about yourself.
Yeah, I'm the resident, or one of the resident Canadians on this show. But yeah, my name is Jonah, the former host of the Soft Tire podcast and current host of the Yappy Hour podcast. Actually started a new podcast since the last time I was on Grid Talk. But if you want to go follow us, you can follow us at the App Era Pod on Instagram and Twitter, or you can follow me at JonahF1 on Twitter. Yeah, always a pleasure to be here, and always a pleasure to be awake for the race review.
Yeah, absolutely. Love having you on as always, mate. Phil, I mentioned you are the host or co-host of the podcast. Can you just tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, the GSP, we talk about all things motorsports and sports here, and talk about NASCAR, IndyCar, F1. It'll be a bigger part, of course, this week because of Lando's triumph. We talk about other motorsports like MotoGP. We'll talk about F1 Academy, like you guys do, and whatever else is going on in the world of motorsports. You talk about, as long as it goes fast, we talk about it on the Gripshirt podcast. So myself and my co-host Josh Fine will be getting into that. We'll be on episode 219 this week. So it's been a good run, and always great to be on. Great job as always by you, Tom, and glad to be on with Jonah and Rachel and with the Grid Talk. It is rare these days, so it's always nice to be on with you guys and with my friend Aiden as well. My bad, Aiden, sorry, apologies. You can go and knock me for that. But
you're absolutely fine, my friend. No, Aiden is our mastermind behind the scenes, who is the one who makes all the lovely visuals happen on these shows. So yeah, so Aiden, as always, thank you for what you do behind the scenes. It's very much a thankless task. Just for myself, obviously, you know, please give our socials a follow. Also, the main thing I want to give a sort of quote unquote promo to is our sister show, Formula Talk, that I host with Sophia Richmond. That's where we cover everything non-F1, so primarily F2, F3, F1 Academy. And we are certainly going to be looking at some NASCAR and IndyCar. So Phil, well, you know, especially with Indy 500 coming up. Now, who knows, this panel could be recreated for that. We'll see, hey? But Grid Talk is available on YouTube, where most episodes are recorded live, as well as Amazon Fire, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Music, Verbal, and Pocket Casts. Just search Formula One Grid Talk for our back catalogue of shows. Please consider supporting the channel on Patreon so we can get mics, lights, and better recording equipment. Also, make sure you do subscribe so you are the first to know when each new episode is released. We'll be back soon with plenty more F1 content. But for now, thank you so much for listening to the Grid Talk podcast presented by Best Online, and goodbye.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.